And a couple of announcements. Number one would be, if you are a senior saint, we have to postpone our senior saint's Christmas party. Christy has the flu or something very much like it, and I could cook, but then we would have other problems. So we don't want to expose you to her. She said she could probably do it, but I'm not sure that you want to come to our house right now. She looks like she has the flu. We're going to postpone that actually until Wednesday night, next Wednesday night. And so kind of need your help. She said this is the first year. She was just really diligent. She gave out invitations to everybody she could think of. And so anybody that you know that was planning to come, make sure you let them know. I'll send an email out either tonight or tomorrow letting people know. We're going to call some people. Make sure you let them know that we're going to have to put that off until next Wednesday. We don't have the service next Wednesday, so it'll be at 5:30, same time, just a different day. A couple of other things that are going on. If you have Academy students, if you have Academy students, then they have a game tomorrow night. And then, now I'm going to have to go from memory. Friday, anything going on Friday? I don't think there was anything Friday. Then Saturday night, there is the cantata. And so Saturday night at 6 o'clock, and I explained this Sunday, we're going to do our service on Saturday night. We're not having a service Sunday night. And so if you want to invite people, it's a great night to invite them, perhaps even people that go to another church. And that'll give you an opportunity to invite them. And I think Joyce and Jesse, you're going to the same cantata, different church. Emmanuel is doing the same cantata we're doing, and so they're going to get to go to that on Sunday night over there. So that'll be Sunday. So Sunday, we have the cantata Saturday night, and then Sunday morning, there'll be a different message Sunday morning. So if you come Saturday night, you will hear the music again, but there'll be a different message Sunday morning. And then on Sunday night, the teens have a Christmas party. Starts at 5:30, and that'll be here. I think it goes from 5:30 to 7:30, and then that will take care of the weekend. Now, next week, we have no Wednesday night. The midweek service will be on Thursday night. And I always encourage you to do this. Even if you normally come for the Bible study, you'll enjoy the kids' program. I've not seen it this year. They've taken care of the whole thing. I've heard them practicing, and they're doing a play with it. And so you'll enjoy it. And so I'd encourage you to come. The offering that night goes toward the Christmas bonus for our teachers. And so anything you give in the offering next Thursday night will go toward them. So Wednesday night will be the Senior Saints party, and then Thursday night we'll have the church service. And then all kinds of other stuff. If you lost your Christmas schedule, there's some at the information desk. Okay, Galatians. And let me see if I can get logged back in here. We've done some study throughout the year, and really this is the end of it. We'll pull another verse out in 2 weeks on Sunday morning that will be out of the reading that I did, but it won't be part of the study. So really this is the last part of the study that we're doing as far as the study of the life of the Lord Jesus. And we did a study a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night about the chronology of the Passion Week. And it was part of a longer study about the chronology of the life of Jesus. And give me a second here to get back to where we're supposed to be. And I know you're going to have trouble seeing a few things on the slides tonight, but the top I think you'll be able to see just fine. But in the rest of the chronology of the life of Jesus, there are a couple of things that I think you'll find helpful, actually, and there's a particular reason that I want you to study this with me. So let's turn first, Galatians chapter 4. This is probably not a new verse to you, but it is the reason that we look at this particular topic this evening. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to place in our time the birth of Christ, the public ministry of Christ, and then the trial and death of Christ. And so when we go to Galatians chapter 4, let's read specifically verse 4. It says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Now we'll read a little bit further in just a moment, but let's look specifically at that. It says, "But when the fullness of the time was come," there was a point in history where God looked down and said, "Okay, this is the point. This is the time. This is when we've set it aside." This is not totally a surprise. When you go back in the Old Testament, one of the things that will confirm your confidence in the Scripture is to study some of the Old Testament prophecy. And this very time is prophesied in the Old Testament. Daniel talks about it significantly. And so when the fullness of time was come, when it's the idea that the ripening of the fruit, when that had all taken place, when that had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. That, if it's in a modern translation, it'll simply say born of a woman, born under the law, or born in the time when the law still applied, is the idea there. And then he's going to go on, and we'll finish tonight by going back to those verses and seeing the next two verses that follow that. But I want you to think about the fullness of time. When was Christ born? We make some presumptions when we think about our calendar. By just simple deduction, it would be that Jesus was born in 1 A.D., and then if he lived 33 years, he would have been crucified about 33 years old. So in A.D. 33, he would have been crucified. And those are generalizations. And when we look at that, you would think that's how it is, because Anno Domini means in the year of our Lord, or in the year of the birth of our Lord. But we have the question, exactly when was Jesus Christ born? Now, let me go back through something, because this will help us get the foundation. We did a little review of our calendar system a couple of weeks ago. We went from a Julian calendar to a Gregorian calendar in 1582, and that was under Pope Gregory the 13th. He made the transition. And just to remind you, he needed to refine the calendar because you kept losing days. And so they made a 0.002% correction in the length of the year. And we have leap year now to account for that. But he made that correction in the calendar, and he was correct in making that. And so their point was they wanted to make Easter consistent. The First Council of Nicaea had agreed as to when Easter was, and so they were tying it to the spring equinox. And so the Roman Catholic Church didn't like this steady drift. It kept moving, and so they were trying to bring it back to a consistent date, which is not a bad thing. The calendar was wrong in that the length of the days over the course of hundreds of years became problematic. And so when they instituted the calendar, they simply began by skipping 10 days. And that restored March 21st as the vernal equinox, and that's what they were trying to get back to. But they continued using the year numbering system that Dionysius had created in 525. In other words, here's this guy, 525 years after Christ's birth, who figured back, and he came up with the dating system as far as the years were concerned. Now, here's the problem. When we look at that, it becomes the traditional date of the Nativity. We think of it as A.D. and the year of our Lord. And so in our minds, we think, okay, Christ was born in 1, he was crucified in 33. The difficulty is that after you study that a little bit more, and subsequent to that, and of course, his computer didn't work real well in 525. So he didn't have the resources that we have. Jesus was probably born a little bit earlier than that. Now, as I say that, it makes no difference whatsoever. And here's the reason for this study tonight. Why would we even take the time? And I want you to answer this question, because I want you to see the reason for the study. While it makes no difference, it does become important that we at least understand this. Why would we take the time tonight to talk about this in a church service. If it really doesn't make any difference, why would we spend time talking about it? Can you think of any reasons? Before you ever really study anything, you need to have a reason for studying it. Mark, what do you think? Very good. Yeah. That is the primary reason that you would study this. Because you'll have somebody come and say, your Bible's wrong. Jesus wasn't born in 1 AD. He was born before that. Now, think logically for a minute. So what is wrong? Is the Bible wrong? The calendar system is wrong. Yeah. But people equate that with the Bible. I've actually seen people attack the Bible because the birth of Jesus is wrong. I mean, your Bible is inconsistent. Your Bible is wrong because Jesus wasn't born in 1 AD. The Bible never says He was born in 1 AD. That timing didn't exist when He was born. And so here's the reason that we take the time to study it, and I want you to understand why this exists. And if somebody ever comes to you and says your Bible is wrong, this is an illegitimate attack on the Bible. The Bible is not the problem. The Bible never puts a numerical time on Jesus' birth. As a matter of fact, how many of you have been told Jesus was probably not born on December 25th? Okay, yeah. I hope you understand that. December 25th works well. And as a matter of fact, you can figure the time of year that Jesus was born. There would be differences even in that as people study it. But we don't actually know when Jesus was born, the day. So is it wrong to celebrate His birth on the 25th of December? Well, I don't think so. I think the Lord is honored by us recognizing the advent of Christ, the birth of Christ. But yeah, if somebody comes and says, well, the 25th is not when He was born, I say, you're absolutely right. We're recognizing the occasion, not the date. We're recognizing the event, not the specific time of year. And I think it's a wonderful time of year to celebrate it. Satan will do his best to hijack it, but I think it's a great thing. And so why do we talk about it? Because you need to make sure that you recognize this is not a biblical problem. This is a calendar issue that has nothing to do with Scripture. It's a history issue. What we find is that the Bible presents Jesus Christ as a character in history. And I want you to see that this evening. He's as real as all of the other characters in history. And in order to deny Jesus' existence, you have to deny the existence of other characters in history. It is not tied to specific dates. And so let's do something here. In looking at the fullness of time, what was the time that God chose for the Lord Jesus to be born? Can we know the exact date? Can we narrow it down? Well, the answer to that is kind of yes, pretty much maybe, sort of, I think. But it doesn't really matter if we know the date. What we have when we study Jesus' birth are biblical historical references. And so let's take the time to look at a couple of those. Let's turn from Galatians back to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And I think most of you would be able to answer these things even without looking at the particular scripture references. But in Matthew chapter 2, if you look at verse 1, it says, "And now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from Jerusalem," or from the east, "to Jerusalem." All right, now, here's what I was telling you. The Bible does not put a time as in a number on it. It gives us the events in history that were taking place. And so we know that Herod was the king during the time when Jesus was born. Let me read to you Luke chapter 1, verse 5 as well. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. And it goes on to tell about Zacharias and Elizabeth. So two of the writers said this was during the time that Herod was the king. All right, so what we do if we want to try to figure it out is we say, okay, when was Herod the king? The Romans kept very good records. And so we know that Herod died in 4 BC. Now, you see any problem there? Yeah, here we already have at the very beginning when we start studying the characters, and we know, and we really don't have any reason to doubt the dating that we have for Herod, that Herod died in 4 BC. We know that Jesus then was born during the days of Herod. And so the Gregorian calendar that we have is actually probably off by about 4 years. If we want to go a little bit further and prove that, what happened in Matthew chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 16? Look on down a little bit and see what took place there. The wise men come and Herod sends them, and then when they get back, what does Herod tell them to do in verse 16? Did I get the right verse? Yeah. Yeah. How old? Yeah, two and under. Now, why two and under? So, how old was Jesus? Yeah, in our presentation of the nativity scene, you know, we rush things a little bit. You know, Jesus is born, the angels come, the wise men come. You know, it all happens right away. If you look at the chronology of his birth, there's probably a little bit more time. How much time, I don't know. And how long were the wise men traveling before they got there? We could take the time to look at that. But Herod felt like he needed to cover a 2-year time span. And so it could have been, you know, even 2 years earlier. It could have been in 6 BC that Herod was living and Jesus was born. And so what we come down to is that really based on what we know about Herod, Jesus was probably born between 6 and 4 BC. Now let's go back to the reason that we're looking at that. Does that change the accuracy of the biblical account? No, not at all. The Bible is not putting the number 1 AD on Jesus' birth. The Bible is connecting it with a character in history. Let's do this again. Let's go to a guy named Augustus Caesar. You're in Matthew, so go over to Luke chapter 2. And this one is a little more thorny when you get into some of the details of it. Luke chapter 2, and this is where we often read the nativity story, and so you'll recognize these things. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius," or Quirinius, "was governor of Syria." Okay, here's another historical character. And this historical character, actually two historical characters, of the two, Quirinius is a little, he's where you get into a little bit of a, it's a little bit hard to figure out in history, because Quirinius, we know there's another census that's recorded in Acts in 6 or 8 AD. And so you look at that and think, okay, maybe he was born then, but we know some things about Quirinius. Augustus is the one that established the census system. And so he would take a census, and we know that he reigned from 30 BC until AD 14. So that gives us a pretty broad spectrum in there. If you keep going, we know that that census was supposed to take place every 14 years. Now, it would have been scheduled for 8 BC. Remember a couple of weeks ago I was talking to you about this. Even for us, with very high-skilled computer people and you know all of the things that we have, how long does it take us to do a census in the United States? How long? We do it every 10 years. Yeah. Can we do it in a day? No, we can't even come close. Even when we do the census, we're not sure how accurate it is. Christy worked for the census the summer they did it, a couple of years ago. And you go and you take months and you gather information in the area you're assigned. Then you send it in. Then how long is it before we get the numbers? I don't even know. I mean, it's a long time. There are people still using the census from 10 years before, even after the census has been taken. So if it takes us that long, some people will say, well, then Jesus, the scripture is wrong because the census was in 8 and you're saying he was born somewhere around 4 or 6. Well, it could have easily taken that long to do it, number one. And there was turmoil in this area that would have delayed it or could have easily delayed it. And so if you're wanting to doubt the Bible, here's a place you could do it. But if you're in the category we're in where we say, well, the scripture's proven itself to be historically accurate, especially Luke, this is probably an accurate piece of history that it was 2 years later at least before they did the census in the area of Palestine for whatever reason. It may have just been logistics that they started in one area and they kept moving. But it's probably a very accurate assessment of history. We know that he was Quirinius, and he's the problem. We know that he was not only the ruler in Acts, but he was also a joint ruler in 8 BC. And we don't know how long that extended. And so everything fits together. It's one of those, again, if you want to doubt it, you can look at this and say, I don't know. But if you say, all right, I don't have any real reason to doubt this, everything fits in it. And so here again, we have Jesus connected to a historical character. Let's look at one, another one. We'll look at one more after this. But you're in Luke. Go over to chapter 3. This one moves us forward a little bit. In Luke chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod the Tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, Tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Licinius, the Tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest. Wow, we got a lot of historical information here. And here is Luke, who is the historian. Now, if you were writing a book and you wanted to be deceptive, what would you not put in? All of this. You would not say, here is exactly when this happened, exactly who was reigning. If you didn't know this, you're going to get caught. And so when people have gone back and they've tried to take the scripture, I've tried to show you this as we've gone through this study. When people have said, all right, we're going to attack that. Man, we're going to rip that apart. Where do they always end up? It's exactly right. Every time they start to study it, they find, yep, Luke had it. His dates are right. His people are right. His titles are correct. And every time they attack him, he proves to be accurate historically. And so here is Luke saying, all right, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. And what he's telling us is that this is when John the Baptist is going to begin his public ministry. And so as John the Baptist begins his public ministry, that also dates the public ministry of Jesus. Because very shortly after John the Baptist started his ministry, Jesus started his ministry. What age was Jesus when he started his public ministry? Yeah, he was about 30 years old. Now remember, that means he's in the neighborhood of 30 to them. We mean 30. They meant he's about 30. So it could be, you know, within a little bit, I tend to think it meant 30 in that particular passage. And so at this point, we know that Tiberius had two beginnings. And so it's a little hard to date exactly. And here's what I mean by that. He was co-ruler with his father, Augustus. And we don't know exactly when that started. We don't know the point that he started co-regency, co-reigning with his father. There's not a real good history of that. What we do know is that when he died in AD 14, that Tiberius Caesar was then the sole ruler. And so we can go back and we can look at those dates. And if you take the first one, when he was the co-regent, the co-ruler, it would be either John's ministry started in AD 26 or 27, or 28 or 29. Now, you're going to have to do a little math in your head. If we know Jesus was about 30, which of those fits better in our chronology of Jesus? Nope. Because you're looking at he's 30, and if he was born in 6 or around there, you're going to want the earlier date. Because 26, if you put him back 6 AD, 4 to 6 AD, then that would put him at 30 if he was born in 4 BC. So those times fit if you take the earlier dates. But you can argue either of those. You know, we can't really establish anything on that one. Let's go to one more. John chapter 2. Here's another interesting one. I found this really interesting. I had not studied this particular thing before. But let's go to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. And here's another timestamp. It says in verse 20, Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou repair it or rear it up in 3 days? Raise it up in 3 years, 3 days. So here are the Jews coming after the Lord Jesus because he said, I'll tear this temple down and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. Or if you tear this temple down, I'll rebuild it in 3 days. He was talking about the resurrection of his body, but they were talking about the actual temple. But they make a comment here. And this comment helps us immensely because we have some dates here. When they said it's been 46 years that this temple's been built, we've been and what they're saying is we've been working on this temple for 46 years, and it's still not done. How are you going to rebuild it in 3 days? If you study it in history, it was not finished until 65 A.D. Then it was destroyed in 70. And so the work went on for another 30 years. But we can go back in history and we can actually find out some pretty specific things here. Herod the Great was trying to ingratiate himself to the Jews and he was trying to build a legacy for himself. And so he started renovating what we would know of as Zerubbabel's temple. And as he renovated that temple, he was trying to make the Jews happy and make everybody happy. But he started that in 20 or 19 B.C., so before Christ, 20 years before that. Let's just take that date for the time that we're talking about. Okay, you have to think backwards here a little bit when we're doing the time. If they said 46 years we've been working on this temple, and if it was 20 B.C., what would the date be? 26, yeah. And so if you look at it then, if it was 19 B.C., that's 1 year more, it would be 27. And so there's one of the places that we can look in this and say, all right, that's a pretty specific date for us. We know when the temple was, the renovations were started. They said 46 years. That's a specific time. And so we can say at this point, early in Jesus' ministry, this is in chapter 2, so it's very early in his ministry. His ministry started when in 26 or 27. And so that's why on that other one, when we're looking at Tiberius Caesar, we tend to take the earlier date because it fits better with all the other things. And so if we say he started his ministry in 26 or 27, and he was about 30 years old, go back and one would actually be, he would have actually been 4 years old. And so the birth would have been in 4 B.C. And so all of those things work out biblically. And so when we look at that, we recognize that probably the birth of Jesus was a little before what we have. So let me just list them for you, and I don't know if you'll be able to see the bottom one up here. But we're going to say that probably Jesus was born 6 B.C., maybe 5 B.C., possibly even 4 B.C. And the birth would be late in the year, early in the year, depending on the time. And these are, I didn't figure these out. These are things that the gurus figure out. His public ministry would have started somewhere around 26 BC. So we were pretty sure of that. And then we would have his crucifixion around AD 30. And so if we take this and we put it on the chart that we've had before, we would say it this way. He's somewhere around 6. And, you know, we've got him, they on this one, they have him about 32 instead of 32. I'm sorry, they have him a little older than I would probably put him on my dating. But the birth would have been between 6 and 4 B.C. And his death would be somewhere around 30 A.D., maybe even a little earlier than that. But again, the whole purpose of this is to make sure you understand when somebody says, your Bible is wrong, what's your answer? It has no bearing on our Bible. Our Bible does not connect it to dates. What is it connected to? People and history. Yeah. Our Bible never says 6 B.C., 1 A.D. It connects it with people and with history. If the historians can't get it wrong or can't get it right, that's not our problem. They've missed it. But for you and me, it doesn't matter. Now, let me go back to Galatians 4 because I love the end of this. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come. All right, when this time had come where God looked down and said, okay, I'm going to use Augustus and Quirinius and Tiberius Caesar and Pilate, the fullness of time was come. God put together just the cast of characters that he wanted. He said, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born at the time when the law was still in effect. And he said, I had a specific purpose for that, to redeem them that were under the law. I wanted to buy them back. God had a very specific purpose for sending Jesus at this time, that we might receive the adoption of or as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Well, here is a passage that says God sent Jesus Christ, this one that we're celebrating in the next couple of weeks. He sent him for a very specific purpose. The whole purpose was that he would redeem you. He would buy you back. And he would reestablish for us that relationship with the Father, where I could cry out, Abba, Father. I have this closeness of a relationship like a little child and his father. And so when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and his birth, it isn't about the date, and it's not about the reindeer and the shepherds. It's about God's intent to look down at this point in history and say, this is the cast of characters that I'm going to use in the fullness of time. I'm going to put my son right here. And my whole purpose is I want to redeem people who are under the law. And I want to reestablish that relationship that we once had, that you can call me Father, and you can come to me like a child comes to his dad, and we can have that closeness once again. And boy, what a wonderful way to look at that. And again, tonight, the two things that I want you to take away are, if somebody says the date's wrong, the date probably is wrong, but our Bible's not wrong. Our Bible never connects it with a date. And the second thing is, The Scripture says the fullness of time. This was the cast of characters God chose. And what a wonderful book for you to write. The cast of characters that God chose in the fullness of time so that His Son could be successful. Great story and a great study of the times that God chose to use. All right, we're going to bow for prayer, and then we'll pass out a prayer sheet here this evening and pray. And we're going to try to end just a few minutes early because we have some things going on afterward. So we can get into those things. But if you have any questions or comments afterward, I'd be very interested to hear those. All right, let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for the Scripture. And we recognize that you have very carefully informed us as to the time. And you very carefully put together a cast of characters that would allow the Lord Jesus Christ to accomplish your purpose. And so, Lord, tonight I pray that you'll help us to be careful to glorify you, to respond in the way that would be pleasing to you. Thank you for your kindness and for the Lord Jesus Christ and our reconciliation through him. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I think we have a prayer sheet, so we'll pass that out. Any questions or comments about this?